Locked On Angels, your daily Los Angeles Angels podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome back to another episode of Locked On Angels, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. You're locked in with your host, Brent McGuire. In today's episode, we are going to do a far too early 26-man roster projection for the Angels. And before getting into that, we're going to talk about the monster Fernando Tatis Jr. extension and a couple of other baseball-related news. But before getting in the episode, as usual, if you want to follow me on Twitter, you can find me at BMags94, my written work at Crashing the Pearly Gates. And if you haven't done so already, make sure to download, subscribe, rate, and review the Locked On Angels podcast wherever you get your podcast from. So happy Friday. We are getting that much closer to spring training games. This will be obviously the last episode of this week. By the time we're talking next week, we are going to be less than a week away from the Angels' first spring training game. So that is 9 days from now. And yeah, it's really exciting. So the same day that pitchers and catchers reported, we also got news that Fernando Tatis Jr., arguably the most electric player in the sport right now, signed a huge 14-year, $340 million deal with the San Diego Padres. This essentially buys out his entire career with the organization. And I've got to say, I think this is great for both sides. It's great for Tatis Jr. Obviously, he gets a lot of guaranteed money and the security he was looking for. The Padres, a team that has really been, to be quite blunt, irrelevant for a lot of their existence, are quickly becoming one of the most exciting teams. And this was a no-brainer type of decision for them, and really for the sport. There has been some, I think, really weird arguments going on in baseball media about Tatis Jr. ending up on a smaller market team. Well, San Diego is a pretty big city, and quite frankly, Tatis Jr. has made himself marketable in that market, and it's fine. It's great for that city. It's great for West Coast baseball fans who now get to watch Mike Trout, Mookie Betts, and Fernando Tatis Jr. through at least 2030. So there are a lot of exciting players. Don't want to spend too much time on Tatis Jr. given that this is an Angels podcast, but man, this guy is so fun. And if you're talking about guys who have the chance to dethrone Mike Trout as the best player in baseball, I mean, this is about as close as you're going to get. Yes, the sample size is smaller, but based on what he's done through his age, it is almost unprecedented. Basically, the guys he is accompanied by are Hall of Famers, guys who probably won't make it to the Hall of Fame because of steroids, and current active players like Mike Trout and Albert Pujols. Through 143 games, he's been worth 6.5 wins above replacement, 39 home runs, 27 stolen bases. He's got the numbers, he's got the tools, the makeup, the marketability. I mean, he's on the freaking MLB The Show cover. He's got mega deals with other sponsorships, and this is just, it makes so much sense. And yes, there is a lot of risk in a deal. Any deal that is that long is going to provide risk, but Tatis is incredible. He's going to be incredible. He's got everything working for him. He's got a true face of Major League Baseball type of skill set, and he's going to be just incredible for San Diego. So this is very exciting for all of baseball, especially for us West Coast baseball fans. But in terms of other news, there were a few signings and acquisitions that took place on Thursday. We saw the Oakland A's continue to invest in the market after being relatively quiet for most of the offseason. They signed Trevor Rosenthal to a 1-year, $11 million deal. They went out and acquired Mitch Moreland on a 1-year deal. So they've done quite a bit over the last week or so in terms of ramping up that bullpen. So not great news for the Angels, who were probably considered one of the teams that could be in on Trevor Rosenthal. But instead, he goes to Oakland where he can close games, reclaim some more value, and lead an Oakland bullpen that is looking like it's going to be very, very good once again, despite the fact that Liam Hendricks left. And I guess the final piece of news before we dive into the bulk of today's episode, maybe not all that surprising, but MLB Network just finished off their top 100 right now list, and unsurprisingly, Mike Trout finished at number one. And I was curious to go back and look to see what his results have been in this so far, because I couldn't remember the last time he wasn't number one on this list. And from what I found, the only time he didn't finish number one on this top 100 right now list was 2015, when he finished right behind Clayton Kershaw. Every other season since 2013, Trout has been number one on this list. So again, there has been some interesting conversations going on over the last handful of days about who the best player in baseball is. And I feel like we do the same activity every single season, especially going in. There's always like this talk about someone who's going to dethrone Mike Trout. And based on recent history and track record, that has not come to fruition. Yes, it could happen at some point, and I will be the first one to admit when that time comes. But as of right now, Mike Trout is the best player in baseball, and there's really no discussion about it. But now we can dive into the bulk of today's episode, and I realize it's a little too early. We haven't even had a spring training game yet, but I'm going to do a very early on 26-man roster projection, and this was actually easier than I expected it to be. Yeah, a lot can change in the next month or so. I'm almost certain that this is not going to look all that accurate when you check this right before opening day, but I don't feel like it's too early to kind of examine where the Angels are at, where the weak spots might be on the roster, and if they might end up adding some more pieces along the way. So I guess we can start by looking at the position players. So we'll look at the lineup, we'll look at the bench, and then move on to the rotation and bullpen, and we'll kind of talk about some different options that could be potentially on the roster throughout the way. So I guess we'll start off with the lineup, and this is not some set-in-stone lineup or anything of the sort. I'm just kind of guessing what it could possibly be on opening day. So you've got David Fletcher at second base, Jared Walsh at first base, Mike Trout in center field, Anthony Rendon at third base, Shohei Ohtani at DH, Justin Upton in left field, Dexter Fowler, a newcomer, in right field, Max Stassi at catcher, and Jose Iglesias at shortstop. So again, this could change a little bit depending on, you know, things like Max Stassi's health. Maybe Albert Pujols finds his way in there. Maybe Dexter Fowler is not the set-in-stone starter on opening day. But I feel pretty comfortable as of right now saying this is probably the most likely group that they're going to roll out on opening day. And in terms of the strengths of this lineup, I mean, it's rather obvious. Mike Trout, Anthony Rendon, right in the middle of the lineup. That is probably the best 1-2 punch of any lineup in all of baseball. That's going to basically bring this Angels position player unit into a top 10 unit in all of baseball. And there is some upside throughout this group. If Shohei Ohtani bounces back to his career norms, if Justin Upton maybe has one more decent season left in him, if David Fletcher continues his progression, if Jared Walsh continues to show what he did last year, there's some serious upside for this team. I will say at the bottom of the lineup, it does get a little sketchy, but I don't think Dexter Fowler, Max Stassi, Jose Iglesias is all that bad at the bottom of the lineup. You know, if you get something like a decent level production from Fowler, Max Stassi shows that last year maybe wasn't completely fluky, and Jose Iglesias shows, you know, basically his career norms, they're going to be fine at the bottom of the order. So this is a pretty darn good lineup. It could creep up into the top five if they get a big bounce back from Shohei Ohtani. But even without that, just because you have Mike Trout and Anthony Rendon, they are looking pretty good. And in terms of the bench, again, I'm projecting here, but this is kind of how I'm seeing it as of right now. You've got Albert Pujols as a first base DH type guy, Kurt Suzuki at catcher, Luis Ranjifo as the backup infielder who can play shortstop. You've got Taylor Ward, who might fill a variety of different roles, and I guess it's also worthwhile to point out that he's going to get some catching reps this spring training. And as of right now, I've got Juan Lagares as the backup outfielder. So some of these are straightforward. Pujols and Suzuki are basically locks for this roster. I feel pretty good about Luis Ranjifo just because he can play shortstop. He's been on the roster. He can kind of play a few positions. And no, it hasn't been great, but I think he kind of fills a role on this team. Taylor Ward is more of an interesting fit as of right now because he can't play center field, so he's not necessarily your backup center fielder. And because he can play all over, he does bring some value to the team. And if they actually are serious about him playing some catcher, that's just going to add to his versatility. But I feel pretty good about him making this roster. And as of right now, I've got Juan Lagares as the backup outfielder. And that's not because I think he's going to provide all that much for the Angels, but I don't really think Dexter Fowler at this point should be getting any reps in center field, which means Lagares is basically the only guy on the 40-man roster outside of Brandon Marsh who can handle those center field duties. So I feel pretty good about him winning out that final spot as a very good defender who can kind of just fill in a pinch. But yeah, I mean, it's a pretty strong unit. I think the addition of Suzuki is going to kind of help the catching position. I'm a little worried about what happens in the event of a David Fletcher or Jose Iglesias injury, or God forbid, an Anthony Rendon injury. But presuming those guys stay healthy, they're going to be fine. In terms of other options that might be available at catcher, maybe Anthony Benboom, Juan Graterol, but they've both got options. They're almost certain to be the AAA platoon at catcher. Matt Theis, who is apparently playing all over once again, has options. He'll almost certainly start in AAA. You've got Robel Garcia, who was picked up on waivers. He might be an option on the bench. You've got John Jay and Scott Schebler. Both of those guys were brought in on minor league deals. They feel like they're pretty good locks to start the year in Salt Lake. And the last guy I wanted to touch on is Franklin Barreto. And if you'll recall, he was acquired from the A's in the Tommy La Stella deal, and he's out of options. So if the Angels want to keep him, they either have to keep him on the 26-man roster, or they have to basically try to pass him through waivers to stick him in AAA. And I feel pretty comfortable saying that's actually a good bet to happen at this time. I feel like a lot of other teams aren't going to be that interested just because of that caveat that they would have to keep him up on the roster. He hasn't been productive at the major league level. He's coming off a shoulder injury last year. He feels like the obvious guy to try to pass through waivers, stick him in AAA, because at this point, I just don't know where he necessarily fits on the roster. Yes, he can back up shortstop, but I feel like Renjifo has at least provided something in the major leagues and can fill a little bit more of a role. So as of right now, those are the 14 guys that I have projected to make the 26-man roster. Coming up here in a bit, we're going to finish off this roster projection by looking at the pitching staff. But first, let me tell you about BetOnline. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over, but the NBA, college basketball, and NHL are in full swing, and we've got the Major League Baseball season coming soon. BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. You can find real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds, and it's the best place for your bets, and it's free to sign up. So head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit with the promo code LOCKEDON. Again, that's promo code LOCKEDON. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. I've got to tell you about Built Bars. They are some of the best tasting protein bars that I have ever had. I was fortunate enough about a month ago, they sent me a mixed bag of a variety of different kinds, and I quickly fell in love with them. Immediately invested in the cookies and cream, mint brownie, and coconut flavors, and I'm telling you, these are delicious. They taste like candy bars. They're a great snack to have throughout the day, and most importantly, they're healthy. Every protein bar has 16 grams of protein, only 6 grams of sugar, and only 130 calories. So if you go to BuiltBar.com right now and use the promo code LOCKEDON, you'll get 20% off your next order. Again, that's promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at BuiltBar.com. Get more of the sports news you need in less time with our new Locked On Today podcast. Peter Bukowski hosts a breakdown of the biggest stories with analysis from our local experts. Start your day with all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes. subscribe to Locked On Today wherever you get your podcast from. So we're going to move into the pitching staff, and forewarning, this is a lot more depressing than looking at the position players, but here we go anyways. So we've got the rotation. Again, this feels like it's pretty straightforward. As of right now, I've got Dylan Bundy as the number one, Andrew Heaney, Jose Quintana, Griffin Canning, Alex Cobb, and I've got Shohei Ohtani as the number six starter right now. We have heard from Joe Maddon that it's almost certain that they're going to utilize that six-man rotation. A lot of it is going to depend on whatever Shohei Ohtani does. And again, feels like a relevant time to bring this up. We got some reports out of spring training on Thursday. Shohei Ohtani threw a 27-pitch bullpen, topped out at 90 miles per hour. There was, I guess, a little bit of reaction from Angels fans who were worried about the velocity readings. I'm just going to say, don't worry about it as of right now. I think there are legitimate concerns about Ohtani, but velocity readings on your first bullpen is not all that important. So stay tuned on those updates. But as of right now, that looks like the rotation they're going to roll out there. Things could change in the coming weeks. I can't help but look at Jake Odorizzi still sitting out there as a free agent and think he just makes so much sense for this rotation. But as of right now, that's the group they're rolling with. You've heard my thoughts on this group. I don't think this is a very good unit. I think there's a lot of risk in terms of the performance, where the innings are to come from. We've got a bunch of guys with injury history in the recent past, so there is some risk involved with this rotation. I will say, moving over to the bullpen, I feel a lot better about this unit than I do about the rotation. And I think that's mainly because you're starting this off with one of the better relief pitchers in all of baseball in the newly acquired Raisel Iglesias, who is almost certainly going to be their day one closing pitcher. So you've got him at the back end of the bullpen. You've got Mike Myers, who broke out in a big way in the shortened season last year. Felix Pena, Ty Buttrey, Alex Claudio, Aaron Sleggers, and I've got Jaime Barria as the final guy on this roster because he's out of options and there's almost no way he would possibly make it through without getting acquired or picked up by somebody else. So looking at this unit, I still think it's a little short on late inning arms. I would feel more comfortable with another guy back there. Unfortunately, I'm not sure that guy actually exists anymore. The market has basically become depleted recently, especially with the Trevor Rosenthal signing, but I still think this could be a pretty darn good group. I'm buying in on Mike Myers and what he did last year. I like that Felix Pena had a big velocity boost and showed some better strikeout numbers. Ty Buttrey, I'm not sure what's going to happen with him. His results have been all over the place, so he feels like the real wild card for this team. Alex Claudio is a completely fine left-handed reliever to add to this team. For what it's worth, he's recovering from some sort of hip infection, so it might be a few weeks till he's throwing in games. Aaron Sleggers, who was acquired recently from Tampa Bay. And again, I've got Barria at the back end just because I feel like he's the perfect guy to be a multi-inning reliever. He can fill that sixth spot in the rotation if needed. And again, because he's out of options, I just don't see any other way for him to not crack the roster. He's got to make it somehow, or they're really going to risk him being picked up by somebody else. So those are the guys that I think are going to make it right now. And unfortunately, I don't think the depth is all that great behind them either. Patrick Sandoval, Jose Suarez are the obvious guys who will start the year in AAA. They both got options. They could both definitely work on some things, although I do feel much better about Patrick Sandoval at this point. You've got Jose Alberto Rivera. He was picked in the Rule 5 draft by the Angels from Houston, which means he has to start the year on the 26-man roster or he's going to risk being returned to Houston. So again, this is kind of like the Barria thing, but I'm not sure there's necessarily a spot for him as of right now. You've got Luke Bard, Gerardo Reyes, Jose Quijada, and Kyle Keller, who all have options, and Jacob Faria, who was a non-roster invite. And there was one last guy I wanted to touch on. That's Junior Guerra, who was signed on a minor league deal. He's been up in the major leagues for, I believe, each of the past five seasons or so, and has been talked about a lot by Joe Maddon. This was something that Jeff Fletcher of the Orange County Register pointed out. So he actually has a decent chance to make the roster too. But looking at this pitching staff, I think it's completely warranted to be not just underwhelmed by this unit, but maybe a little scared. There are a lot of ways for this to go wrong with this unit as currently constructed. Yes, if there's a best case scenario where everybody stays healthy, Shohei Ohtani comes back and is able to give the team innings, things could look pretty good. But this club is an Andrew Heaney injury away or a Dylan Bundy injury away from looking awfully thin. So again, I don't want to be so Debbie Downer before the season has even started, but comparing the position players to the pitchers, it's like a night and day difference. I feel very good about the position players. I feel less so about the pitching staff. But as a whole, you look at this team, I think the roster is pretty easy to project at this point. Things are going to change in the next month or so, but as of right now, that's the roster that I've got. We will probably update this from time to time as the season gets closer. That's going to do it for today's episode of Locked On Angels. As always, if you want to follow me on Twitter, you can find me at BMags94 and my written work at Crashing the Pearly Gates. So, as I said at the beginning, we've got games coming very soon. The next time you hear from me, we're going to be less than a week away from live action spring training games. That is very, very exciting news for baseball fans, Angels fans, and everything. So, in terms of what is coming next, I've got a lot of guests lined up. I have decided to do a position preview for all of the Angels positions. So we're going to break it up into groups. We're going to do infield and outfield, rotation, bullpen. But instead of me just telling you about these positions, I'm going to bring on a bunch of special guests, people who cover the team day in and day out, so we can get a different perspective. And that's really going to take up the next week and a half or so. So you can expect that coming up. And yeah, so we've got real games incoming. We've got Angels baseball coming in a little over a week, and I guess that's cause for celebration. And I believe that's going to do it for today's episode. As always, thank you for joining. Stay safe out there, and we will talk some Angels baseball next week.